Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chase McKay, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Thursday. We say hello now to Paul Kaharsky, paulkaharsky.com. You can also hear him Wednesdays at 8 with Robbie and Rex Road. PK, what's up?
Morning, PK.
Hey, guys. Doing well. Thanks.
Let's start with yesterday in Ryan Tannehill, his comments. We talked about it earlier in our show that I feel like, you know, you can, even though he may say that he doesn't listen to the noise and, you know, the roller coaster ride, I think it bothers him. And I get it. I mean, the human side of it, how could it not? But some of his answers yesterday, specifically about the conversation with Rand Carthon, made me think that he doesn't exactly feel great about where he stands with the organization. What were your thoughts?
Well, he's a 35-year-old quarterback, second year in a row that they've traded up to draft somebody who, you know, they ultimately hope will replace him. But he's a veteran guy. He's been around a lot. He knows the facts of life in the league and that's how it's going to be. And now you tie it to his contract situation where he's in the last year of his deal. You know, he also talked about what his job is to go out and try to win football games and control the things that he can control. A lot of cliches mixed in there, but that's the truth of the matter. And right now, all he can do is go out, run this team, control this team. It's a highly changed offense from his description, from Chig's description. He's going to be the guy that can master that, that has a head start on mastering that. And if he goes out and does his thing, he should be the starting quarterback this year. I would think for the bulk of this year, if he could stay healthy. And then he knows and the team knows that they're going to be a place to assess things, and the odds are high that he is going to be somewhere else in a year.
Yeah, the contract was brought up yesterday, and he was very quick to say that, you know, he don't want to talk about that, don't want to talk business in public. So, I think that goes to what you just said, that he's likely to be somewhere else next year. But what if and I know this isn't likely with the receivers and everything they have around him, but what if he does have a really, really good year? Do you think it makes the Titans think twice, or they've already made up their mind?
I think based on the allocation of resources, you know, it would take him having a really, really good year paired with Levis not showing much developmental stuff, paired with Tannehill not finding much of a market for something to happen. But there's too much unknown at this point in time. I would think their plan is very strongly for a big transition next year away from Tannehill and away from Henry, and on to a Will Levis, Tajay Spears led offense, and that they're positioned themselves for that with this draft at the expense of some other things that were, for frankly, more immediate needs, obviously, particularly a wide receiver. And, you know, even I'm not comparing Levis in any way to Patrick Mahomes, but, you know, we've seen other good quarterbacks. I think Alex Smith had a pretty good year in his last year, and that didn't change the long-term plan for Kansas City when they drafted a guy that they were really confident in going forward.
To that point, Paul, do you think there is anything that Ryan Tannehill could do to be a Tennessee Titan for, say, the next couple of years?
Probably not. Unless he transitioned into a backup role at a much, much lower cost. And I think those things are unlikely. There's going to be a team, provided that Ryan Tannehill has a healthy, non-disastrous season, even without, you know, extremes on that will find him an attractive guy that could give another team 2 years starting next year to put them in a good position to hold them over, to help them get to be a healthier franchise. Mm-hmm. and to get them to a better place as he's 36, 37 conceivably, I would think in a year. And I know a lot of people still think like there's a trade in the future, or maybe when somebody gets hurt during training camp. I just don't think there's enough emphasis on the $24 million base salary that somebody would have to inherit. So if you trade it for Ryan Tannehill now, nobody has $24 million in cap money. Nobody's going to want to pay him $24 million this year. It would have to come with a renegotiation that would come with an extension, I think. And that's a pretty substantial commitment for teams that mostly have their ducks in a row at quarterback at this stage.
Yeah, it's same conversation. Derrick Henry, $10 million salary. Can't just easily trade him. Paul Kaharsky with us from paulkaharsky.com. Aaron Brewer had some interesting comments yesterday, Paul, regarding Keith Carter, the former offensive line coach here with the Tennessee Titans. What did you make of those comments from Aaron Brewer?
Well, he was brave in the sense that he wasn't afraid to say what, you know, has been underlying and everything. But look, Keith Carter not being liked and being a tough coach, mm-hmm. I think fans tend to be like sympathetic to that. I mean, the offensive line was terrible last year. It wasn't terrible last year because Keith Carter is a hard ass. It was terrible last year because Dennis Daly is terrible, because Aaron Brewer was out of position. Because Nicholas Petit-Frere, you know, was having his rookie struggles. Now, when you change coaches at position or the position coach or a coordinator or a head coach, it often goes from, you know, a hard ass to a softer players coach or vice versa. And so the new guy who was an assistant of Keith Carter's and is installing much the same stuff, you know, Aaron Brewer didn't make it sound like the offensive line change in philosophy is that there's a big change in offensive line philosophy. It's just an offensive line coaching personality. Will these guys respond better to a player's coach who's willing to hear more from them? Well, there are not many holdover guys. So Daniel Brunskill and Andre Dillard and Peter Skoronski, and Duncan from Maryland aren't adjusting to a new offensive line coach. This is the only one they're going to have known with the Titans. So I don't know that it's quite as big as it comes across. But I like that he, you know, expounded on it in a big way. And Keith Carter obviously wasn't real popular with those guys. But you don't have to be real popular with your position to make things work. You just have to get production out of your guys. And Keith Carter, a couple of years ago, got great production out of his guys. They blocked for over 2,000 yards for Derrick Henry and were part of an offense that was, what, fourth in scoring? And nobody was bitching about him then.
Talking to Paul Kaharsky, paulkaharsky.com with us. And, you know, one thing that is going to continue to be a question is wide receiver for this team. And I ask it this way, Paul, of – do you think that looking at the bargain bin in free agency, which is what they did, and I don't hate some of the signings that they made, but they went very bargain basement shopping, and then the risk of taking Levis in the second round, Spears in the third round, and then anything beyond that, you just never really know. Have they taken too many risks this offseason that could come back to bite them?
I don't know. You know, I wouldn't say they've taken too many risks. I just, if you're bad at receiver, and historically bad at wide receiver, like in 25 years, you found one great wide receiver who you traded away after 3 years. My philosophy would be to attack the position constantly in every way possible instead of virtually ignoring it with a replacement level free agent in Chris Moore and a seventh round pick who looks, you know, encouraging, but he's a seventh round pick, and Colton Dowell from a small school. He's not going to be in the starting lineup anytime soon, making a difference. And if he is, that's a long shot. That's a hope and a prayer. That's not a plan you can count on. So they're kind of thumbing their nose at it in a way. A lot of fans who were really pissed off on Saturday at the end of this now come around and justify, well, it's a 2-year project, so they're just going to wait until next year. Well, wait until next year for something else. Look, they say, well, the free agent pool was bad. I agree, the free agent pool was bad, but you could have made some incremental gains there. Well, the league said that the draft was bad at wide receiver because all these wide receivers slipped. Yeah, they did slip, and you could have positioned yourself to go get the one or two that you liked. So if Josh Downs is really good for Indianapolis, yeah, not only did you not take him, but you're going to have to stop him twice a year. And for Mike Vrabel to come out and say, you know, there's still a lot to choose from is ridiculous. I said all last year during the season while people were like, why don't they go out and get somebody? He said, this isn't the time to go out and get somebody. Free agent season is March and the draft is April. And after that, there's nobody to choose from. And then Mike Vrabel says on Saturday, oh, we can still go get somebody. I mean, I looked at the 195 players they brought in after the draft and before the season started at paulkuharsky.com in the Mike Vrabel era. And there's not a lot there, and there's not going to be a lot there unless they make a trade with resources that they don't really have. And he said Saturday night, you know, watch the waiver wire Monday. There are going to be a ton of guys there. There were four guys cut and two guys terminated on Monday. That seemed to me like Mike Vrabel talking like a GM front office guy who didn't really have a handle on what actually would happen on Monday.
Paul Kaharsky from paulkaharsky.com. Quickly, Paul, do you think that Mike Vrabel and Rand Carthon's job security will be tied to Will Levis's success moving forward?
Mike Vrabel's will. I mean, absolutely will. Rand Carthon gets, you know, a free pass on everything he does first year.
Paul Kaharsky joining us here on Chase and Michelle. Paul, appreciate it, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Paul.
Good to be with you guys. Thanks for having me.
Thanks. Paul Kaharsky joining us. And again, you can hear him on Robbie and Rex Road every Wednesday at 8. Good stuff there. There is some breaking news out of the SEC when it comes to baseball, and it's not good. We will discuss this coming up next. Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.